Samberton Board of Selectmen meeting, March 18th, 2020.
Itinerary?
I can make you. Yeah, yeah.
I didn't print mine out, so.
So real quick, for anybody that's on the phone, I know we're all learning as we go with this. We're going to conduct the meeting just like normal. If you have a question, please speak up. The chairman will recognize you, and you can make questions or statements or whatever you have. And if you're not actively talking, if you have the ability to put your phone on mute, we encourage that so we don't get the cars and dogs and everything else in the background, and makes it easier for everybody to hear. That means you, Ray Massey.
I heard that.
Okay.
Was that you yesterday that had your car door open and was...
No, he wasn't on the call. I think that was Justin.
Okay, we can go ahead.
It wasn't me, but I'm having withdrawal symptoms.
Okay, we're going to do the Pledge of Allegiance now.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, is there anybody out there who wanted to sign up for a public comment? Hearing none, we will move on to new business. COVID-19 precautions.
So we talked a lot about different department actions yesterday. And I gave you a few things to look at. So the transfer station, the only update from what we talked about yesterday is Nate has said he's not in a position right now to be able to separate glass like he thought. So all recycling is going to be single stream. Everything's going to go back into the dumpster. But other than that, it's what we had discussed with him yesterday. So I wrote up these changes for the transfer station. It's already been up on Facebook, and it's getting positive response. I did reach out to Jen Holt from the Solid Waste Disposal Committee to let her know the changes that were coming. She supported them, gave us a couple of ideas, and then Tara Albert also had a couple of suggestions based on what they're hearing at the state level. So a couple of those are very specific to, I think, Nate and Shauna working at the station, just some more on the protocol and safety. But two that Tara suggested, and I think were very good and I included, were reminding people that tissues are not recyclable and they should go in the trash, not in with the recycling.
Go in household waste.
And all the bags need to be tied and closed before they get to the station. We don't want to have stuff blowing out that people are going to have to go around and collect and pick up and risk further exposure. So that's already in progress. The public meetings, again, we talked about yesterday, but this we'll get this out to all the board and committee chairs so they know what to do. I talked to Tim Lang this morning because he called me about he's got a public hearing for the ZBA scheduled next week on application from the solar garden.
Yep.
We got notice as an abutter. The highway department did.
Okay. So his intention, right, so I talked him through the policy we had adopted yesterday. I talked him through that. His intention is to hold the hearing as long as he has the ability to do an online version where he can project the drawings and the maps and charts and things.
Yep.
So we'll work with him to get all that set up. I will say every online conferencing service is having challenges right now because so many people have jumped on all of a sudden. They're having capacity issues, and that we're using a free one. That's not a surprise. But I've got Skype for work that was having problems. GoToMeeting, a paid service was having problems. So we'll see how it settles out by Tuesday. It got better this afternoon, at least with this one. But he's also got a corporate Zoom account that he might be able to use.
Okay, before we get off that particular topic, Trish,
yes,
would you check with NHMA and see what the legal ramifications of having a non-public meeting via teleconference are? I don't think we can do that. I think that has to be a face-to-face. But double check with NHMA and find out about that.
For a non-public?
Non-public,
yeah.
Okay.
Just for a non-public meeting. We need to find that out. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, interesting.
Just the possibility of somebody
calling
in and getting in and us not knowing it.
Well, that could also be done with, instead of using the conference line, we could do that with phone conferencing, just using the phone capability. So
you know,
one person logs in, you call, you get conferenced in individually. People can't just join on their own. They have to be added to the call.
It's not a communal number, right?
Yeah, but I'd still like to find out what the legal.
Yep, no, that's a good question.
What legal on that, so that we do it the right way.
That's a good point.
So we'll get that put out. And then the only other thing, so I did talk with Julie today. She's putting together a letter for residents to explain the changes that are going on in her office. So I kind of folded that in with some of the things we had talked about. I think the only question is about, you know, do we want to keep the door locked and only let people in when they're scheduled to be here? Because honestly, that's the only way we can control how many people are going to be inside the lobby at any one time.
Right. So this afternoon, I went to go outside to take a phone call. I opened up the lobby door, and there was like 5 or 6 people in there. And I'm like, oh, hi, everybody. Like, just walking right into, you know, we don't have windows open yet, and, you know, things like that.
So my recommendation is that we keep the door locked, only let people in if they have a scheduled appointment. You put together this one as a sign that Julie and Trish can put on the door. It gives them the numbers to call to schedule an appointment.
Yep.
Julie's trying to do everything she can by mail, which is great, but she still needs to do, you know, if it's a new vehicle registration, if it's a marriage license, you know, there'll have to be some interactions.
Has to be some face-to-face.
And I was just going to pick up, you know, for like $20, you can get a wireless doorbell. Yeah. And so we can plug it in right in the lobby, put the button out on the door. When people arrive, they ring the door. If they have an appointment, we let them in, we do our thing, and then send them away. And I just think that's, otherwise, even though you ask people not to come in, the only way we can really control it is if they can't physically get in without being let in by an employee. I don't know how you feel, Tom. I know, you know, public spaces, but.
Well, I also, if you're going to do that, then I would also post something on the door. If somebody shows up without an appointment, a phone number that they can call inside and ask a question or
contact. So we'll have all the departments, all the functions listed. So if you want to talk to the town clerk, planning department, assessing, you know, the numbers will be right there, and they can
post
call.
That on the door?
Yeah.
I have it printed in bright
yellow. So
I'm sure somebody will still miss it.
So if we're in agreement on that, then the only other thing is to, this one I put together as a press release that we can have in the Daily Sun, get the word out.
Yeah.
I didn't go into a lot of detail about the transfer station. I mentioned it at the bottom, but Trish has already got it up on the website, so people can go there. Or we'll have it up on the website. So people can go there, see the full list of changes. You know, between social media, the website, and the paper, I think we can, you know, and people are going to have questions, and I'm sure they'll come up with some ideas that we hadn't thought of, and we can just continue to adjust.
Yeah. Well, as I said in the meeting yesterday, this is going to be almost like a living thing going on, because we're going to be learning and we're going to be changing, and things are going to be updated as we go and as we learn.
So that's, I mean, that's the only, those are the changes, I think, since we talked about it yesterday. Unless, Trish, you got anything else that you've come across?
Just a couple of questions for you guys that have popped up. Rob from Cross Country wanted to know, he's taking directions from the towns to, you know, he's not going into the people's homes. He said their protocol is to knock on doors, back up, explaining that they're not making any entrance into people's homes, and consider, you know, that they're just doing the outdoor only right now. And he wanted to know if you guys were still okay with that, or if they wanted Cross Country to sort of modify what they've been doing.
I guess the question is, what's the impact if they just kind of hold off on doing any of the assessments for right now? Because I can just see people, you know,
panicking,
getting upset about somebody at their door, even though it's a legitimate reason to be there, you know, and you know, they're knocking and stepping back and everything. But if it's not going to throw them way off their assessment schedule, I think maybe putting that on hold for a couple of weeks.
Okay, I can let them know.
Wouldn't be a bad idea. Just...
And then Peg and our finance director and the treasurer are working out a system for being in here. We're working on getting the remote access, everybody up to being able to come log into their computers from home. And Peg is still going to be here on Mondays to process payroll and any AP checks. So I'm going to put it out to the department heads that all of payroll or timesheets and any check requests for payments or whatever need to be into this office by Monday at 9 so that she can do that. And then Karen's going to come in on Wednesday to sign the checks and do any depositing. So she's going to be working with like limited hours as well. Mm-hmm. And then on Thursday, Peggy will come in to distribute those checks.
Yeah, we'll sign them on Wednesday.
On Wednesdays. And so the Wednesdays that we're on the off meetings, they're going to be left, the manifests are going to be left right in that little bucket in front of my office for you guys.
Just in case you're not here.
Yeah, I'm going to have to likely work from home a little bit because I have school-aged children.
Yep. So, and there's no reason to be in here. So.
Right. Yeah, and Dave's going to give me access as well. To the entire server, so I'll be able to do much more from home than previously.
And I think we all have keys, right?
Yep.
So if we need access into the building, we've got the key to come in.
Yep.
Even though we'll probably stand there and hit the buzzer just to be funny.
And the only other thing is I did receive some guidance from, and I forgot to print it out, so I apologize. I received some guidance from the town's attorney about right-to-know requests. There's, and I can forward them to you guys. There's like a new protocol that any right-to-know requests are going to get sort of waylaid a little bit as we're, all of these towns are running with a skeleton crew. And so that format and the formatting of all of that language came from the attorney's office. So I can forward also that out to the department heads. I think that was all I had.
Okay, and I'd just like to thank Jim for doing all these write-ups.
Yeah, thank you.
It was easy.
It was very good.
After
yesterday's meeting, I sort of went home and my head was sort of going in all directions.
Yeah, so. I think the approach that we're taking is, a good one for safety, but it also balances with not being overreacting. I mean, keep business going, but we're going to do it in a safe way.
And still keeping the town business open for the public so that they can get in one way or another.
Yeah, so, the biggest thing will be for Julie, and it sounds like she's already got, all that worked out, but they're going to try to push everything to the mail slot, whether people drop it off, mail it in.
And also, just for the records, the the police department and the fire department have put some new protocols into place that limit the face-to-face interaction between the police department and the public, or the fire department and the public. This does not affect any emergency calls that will be coming in. They will be handled on a case-by-case basis, but they're just asking for things like burn permits and gun permits and anything like that. Call in, they will mail you the form. The form you will fill out, then mail it back in, and your license or the burn permit will be sent to you. So this will be, this was a couple of changes that to keep everybody safe in the town emergency.
Yeah, Paul put out a good thing on Facebook today explaining, you know, why you should use 911. If you have some questions, how to use 211. So that was good. He was concerned yesterday about people that are calling directly to the station for an emergency or a problem, you know, and he wanted to make sure that they're calling 911, because if they're out on a call and nobody's there, it's not going to get answered.
The 911 operators are a filter, and even the 911 operators have changed their protocol a little bit, just to be sure that they know what they're sending people out to. So
more screening questions before they.
Yeah, just be. Be a little bit tolerant with things going on. It's going to be a little bit different for the next few weeks, no matter what we do as far as the town goes. But we'll get through it together, and we'll come out stronger at the end.
That's pretty much all.
Send this out as a press release.
If we all agree, then we'll get it into the Sun. Tomorrow it'll probably show up.
Friday. Might show up online before it shows up in the print. I can send it to Donna at the Echo.
Salmon Press.
Yep.
She gets it. It'll come out next Thursday.
Right.
This week's already. Monday is their deadline for Thursday.
Gotcha.
So. Yeah. She's already.
And then I think we just kind of keep an eye on it, and as.
As things evolve, we'll learn, and we'll modify as things go along, as it evolves.
Yeah.
Okay, anybody got anything else? Are there any questions out in radio land? I think everybody's discussed it already and hung up on us.
No. Hey, a lot of us do this for a living, right? We're used to living on conference calls, so we know how to do it.
I gave that up when I retired. Okay, moving on to reorganization. We need to reassign positions within the BOS. Since we have had an election, we had 30 days in which to elect a chairman, co-chair, and clerk. So I will open the floor to that.
I mean, to me, it's fine the way it is, but...
Yeah, I think that my two colleagues to the left have done an exceptional job in their role as selectmen. And I think, you know, Trish has been very helpful. And so I think things are going, you know, very well. I think the selectmen as a group have the same value system in terms of their governing of the town, which is very positive in my opinion. And I know that I've been on the short end of some votes, which is part of the democratic process. So I would make a motion that John Olmsted be chairperson, Jim Bitjik be vice chairperson, and Tom Salatello be clerk.
I'll second that.
Okay, I have a motion and a second on the floor. Any discussion of the motion? The only discussion I have is that'll make Trisha's job easier because she doesn't have to
change the forms.
change the town website. Okay, all those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstaining? Ayes have it. The slate of officers for this coming year will be John Olmsted as chairman of the Board of Selectmen, Jim Dick as vice chairman of the Board of Selectmen, and Tom Saltiello as clerk of the Board of Selectmen.
Lowly clerk.
Lowly clerk. The moral minority clerk.
Loyal opposition.
Loyal minority clerk.
Yep. Okay. Do we need any other reorganization?
Did you want to change any of the boards that you're, or the committees that you sit on? And I didn't know who was the selectman's rep for the solid waste, which I think might be important to...
Well, but there isn't one.
There was one when they first started, and we found out that really didn't work.
Okay.
So, because I was the liaison, and found out that really didn't work, so we withdrew that, and they don't have one. They're pretty much on their own end.
Well, because they're advisory directly to the board, so
yeah.
They don't really.
Yeah,
wonder.
They're advisory, and if they have questions, they're pretty good about coming to us.
I mean, I don't have any problem with the assignments we've got now.
Okay.
No, I don't either.
All right.
Jim took my biggest worry off my hands when he took the budget committee.
Yeah, so. We still get the planning board, huh? I'm happy.
Yeah, I don't mind that. So, if everybody's happy with what they are, the liaison positions will stand.
So, just in talking with, it's not a board or committee, but in talking with Melanie the other day, she mentioned that she doesn't have a board of selectmen liaison. Something we could consider. You know, if we want to have somebody who does the primary interface with her on welfare issues.
I mean, I'll do that if you want me to. So, if that...
Yeah.
Nobody else is...
I mean, I don't mind doing it, but I'm, you know, I've got a few others, so...
Yeah. I'll be Melanie's. You can tell Melanie that I'll be her primary point of contact for now.
I only mention it because she brought it up as, yeah. You know, not having somebody, so I think that'll be good for her.
No, for now.
Who are the liaisons to the different departments?
Okay, I think Jim, you've got fire.
I'm the fire department.
Okay.
I'm police. And Tom, you're DPW? And then I have the planning board.
Right.
Rec.
And the rec commission. I have those two. Jim has the...
Yeah, the list that you put in.
The list I put in. Just, so there's not one for the transfer station. I just worry with all of the changes going on, it might be helpful to have...
Or somebody for Nate.
Somebody for Nate.
No, that's a good idea.
I mean, we didn't ask Nate, and we haven't asked the Solid Waste Advisory Committee, but...
Well, having a liaison to the committee is different than having
a liaison to the department.
Yeah, because I see him usually every Saturday because I go do my deposit.
Yeah. But. Couldn't hurt to ask him what his thoughts were, I guess.
Yeah, talk to him about it, see.
Okay.
And
he had a tooth pulled today, so I'm sure he's in a really good mood.
Yep.
Okay, do we have any other reorganizing to do?
Hey, John?
Yeah.
It's Paul. I'm on the line. I apologize for not being able to be there, but...
We don't want you here.
Yeah, we're kind of happy you're not here.
I'm home dealing with the dog. One thing that was brought to light with this whole issue over the course of the last week, actually a week and a half to 2 weeks, is the health officer position.
Yeah.
That we may want to reconsider. consider not appointing a deputy and doing a deputy health officer just in light of what occurred. You know, it was a perfect storm.
Yep. Yeah. Bad time for him to be out of action.
He did come in last week and did his septic design reviews for the three that were pending.
So
I think he's been able to sort of go slow and take things as they come. So the ones that were outstanding are all cleared up.
Why, were you asking to be deputy, Paul?
Well, so here's the deal. I'm not intelligent enough to speak about septic systems. So that would not be part of my burlywick that I would be able to do. But in light of the stuff that has occurred, I at least could do that and fill in as necessary, you know, in a case of a, God forbid, another pandemic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just a thought I'm throwing out there as you guys are reorganizing.
Yeah, I don't think any of us here had thought about that. Do you want to discuss that or think about it? With us being on a 2-week schedule, we don't want to think about it too long. So.
Yeah, so I'm just looking at it to see what we've got. Where's my budget?
Yeah. Jim's fingers are going over his computer at lightning speed right now, Paul, trying to find things.
Well, what I want to see is what do we have in the budget, you know, if he's going to be doing a job.
He's going to be stipend, yeah.
That's his way at the end.
Well, as we know, if you look in the budget, there's barely enough money for him doing what he's doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
But just to get us over the hump, you know, we can talk about that at a later time. Something that needs to be discussed today.
Yeah.
But just from a standpoint of getting us over this hump for now, and then discuss the details of it at a later date when things start to settle out. That's an option as well.
Yeah, I think having somebody at least in title who can fill that job.
Technically, when I stepped down as the deputy the last time, I don't know if Trish submitted that paperwork to the state. That would be a question for her.
I did not
see whether or not, in the eyes of the state, I'm still the deputy or not.
She did not report that to the state, Paul, that you would step down, so as far as the state knows.
I thought Mike came on before.
Mike was here before.
Before Trish came. So we'll check, because I think.
That might have been Katie, during Katie's reign.
Right.
Katie Ambrose.
I never received anything from the state saying I was removed, but that may not be the case, because they only sent the information when I was appointed.
Yeah. Well, we'll check. We'll double check anyway.
Yes. But, you know, I don't mean to hold up the meeting, but it's just a thought that actually popped in my brain today.
No, it's a good thought. Thank you, Paul.
So, Paul, though, in the interim, would you still be able to do some of those life safety checks or whatever they're called, the health safety checks?
Like I said, you know, the big hiccup might be whether or not the appointing authority, which is the Board of Selectmen, had removed me at the state level.
I'll check on that and get back to you tomorrow then.
Okay.
Okay, is there anything else under reorganization that we need to look into or discuss? If not, we'll move on to old business.
I don't have anything specifically listed, but just a quick update. I'm working with Atlantic Broadband on getting a requote on the voice override IP systems. And I do have those huge Underwood engineering books that are complete, and we've requested a PDF copy so it can go on the website.
Okay.
And then I think, you know, to follow up from the conversation from town meeting, we should look probably, you know, June down the road to, you know, have them come in and actually present the study,
yeah,
talk through, you know, the different parts of it, how we're supposed to use it. I know Johnny's heard this, but there are enough other people that seem interested in wanting to understand what's in the study and how the town can take advantage of it.
Yeah.
And I think it wouldn't be a bad idea, but I think that's a, you know, June, July, assuming,
yeah, after this,
things have calmed down by then.
After this whole mess is over with, and we can have a decent public meeting.
That's a face-to-face. We don't want to do that.
No. No, that would have to be, because I can foresee it being big enough to where we might even have to move it up to the to the old town hall and have it as a face-to-face up there.
You were saying something that reminded me of something.
Was it the roads? The road bands?
No.
I asked Johnny for the list. He hasn't gotten back to me on that yet.
The through road,
the
no through truck restrictions that he wants to put up.
Yeah.
Now, just as a comment, I was going through Bow. I think it was Main Street and Bow. Oh no, Hooksett. Main Street and Hooksett, right past their town hall, and that street is marked no through trucks. They have very nice, bright neon yellow signs. You can't miss them.
Mm.
Yeah, so both ends of the road are no through trucks, deliveries only.
Yeah.
Which I think is what Johnny was going for.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think with the list of roads that he has in mind, that should be pretty easy to take a look at and, you know, approve or update or whatever he needs. And then, you know, we had the Winnipesaukee River Basin project on the agenda for tonight, but you know, with everything going on, their deadlines are kind of moving to the right, and so I talked to Trish and we just pushed them off. They weren't all that, they were going to call in anyway, and they didn't think it was a big deal to wait, so we figured let's get through.
They had to cancel their meeting for tomorrow as well because they're getting pulled in different directions from the state for planning and stuff. So
yeah, so the urgency was off, so we'll push them off to a time down the road.
I think I would suggest this consideration that perhaps you may want to consider having a town attorney look at the original document that we got involved with and compare that with what they're proposing to see what the changes are. And my concern is that we're being asked to take responsibility and financial responsibility for something that was never intended in the original document. So I think having someone take a look at it and giving us some advice as to where we should be standing on that is a prudent course of action.
The first step they're pushing us is to update the town of Samberton's sewer ordinance.
Well, that's one step that everybody is part of this
cooperative
effort is supposed to have an updated sewer ordinance, and what did ours go back to? 86. So it's time for that. Trish had been in touch with Franz Vail, who used to work for DES, and he had agreed to at least listen in and help us interpret some of it. I talked to him on election day, and he thought he might know somebody else who also used to work in that area, who's now retired, who might be interested in stepping up to help us and, you know, be that volunteer we were looking for to participate in those meetings and help us really understand it.
Yeah.
So he was going to check into that, and we'll follow up with him.
Who sponsored the legislation? Was it the state senator?
It hasn't been submitted yet.
It hasn't been submitted yet. To reorganize,
so
to
what they
change
gave us
the
before was just a draft. It's not an actual bill that's been put
draft
in.
From who?
It was, I think it was put together between the district team, that's the guys that came in to brief us, and yeah, the lawyers that they've been working with.
Where's the impetus for this coming from?
I think it was just people got tired of the state telling the towns in the basin how they were going to spend their money without any.
Yeah, but I think the my view is that the state has an obligation to step up to the plate financially, and I think going back to the original agreement might give us some guidance.
Right.
And, but I don't know if the state is pushing this, or, you know, what's the...
No, this is coming from the member towns who... Because right now, the state runs the program. They provide no funding.
Well, that's where the issue is. They should be providing the funding.
So what they want us to do before they can change the entire governance of the way the basin program is run is... get all of the onus, like who's owning that infrastructure in the ground and who's, you know, maintaining it, figured out. And so I started reading some of the stuff that Ray sent me today, and I got very distracted with everything else going
other
on.
Going.
So it sounds like there was an original agreement put in that it's the state owns the main line and then anything built off of the interceptors is the towns, but I would really want to have an assessment done of what shape that infrastructure is before we, you know, move on anything.
But I think getting him to look at what was in the original agreement, has anything changed in what they're trying to get us to update now, makes a lot of sense.
So they could file a bill, legislative bill, to put in a request financially for the state to fund their 75% of the responsibility, which was the original. They own 75% of the sewer.
Yeah.
But they're not paying anything. But, you know, I'm just really very concerned about that. And I think what's happened is that, and I think I mentioned it before, is that, you know, Article 28A prevents any mandates going back to cities and towns by the legislature and the governor, but they have to fund it. And I think the way they get around it is through administrative rules and asking the towns to voluntarily assume responsibility. No, I think the road in the bay is a good example. The state said, well, we'll fix the road, but then you're responsible forever for the maintenance of the road.
Yeah.
So that's one way of them passing the obligation of future reconstruction and maintenance to the town. So they're, you know, they're off the hook. And it's the same with the damn streetlights on the Winnisquam Bridge and the streetlights down here at the Tilton intersection. They took all the streetlights out.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, if you want the streetlights back, you may, if you want,
go ahead,
pay the bill. And I think that's kind of the direction I see some of the stuff going in. And I think the state needs to step up to their responsibility financially. And I think they try to, you know, put it off on the local communities.
This increases
our taxes, and with this project, with the Winnisquam River Basin, you know, you're not talking a couple of hundred bucks here. You're talking You're talking big money.
Mm-hmm.
This is their way of balancing the budget, their budget.
Yeah. And, so I don't know. I guess my question is if there's been any state involvement at all in what's been going on. Have they been pushing this issue, or is that coming from the state of New Hampshire?
Well, I believe that the state pushed out the memorandum of agreements that they wanted everybody to sign, and that was boilerplate, which was, I think, part of the problem, because that did come from them.
So there's definitely been state involvement, because it's being done as part of the project.
I think that when you say that, what I always look at when things like that happen, like at work, is show me the original documentation. Mm-hmm. I want to see the committee minutes where you discussed this and what your recommendations were in the minutes and why you chose this particular path to take. So I think you need to go back to the inception of the discussion, where it came from, who pushed it, and why. And I think you're in a better position to sit back and look at that data and make an informed decision. It's always somebody in somebody's office, I know we should do this, without any detail at all. And I think that kind of concerns me. But it's a big bite to take, and I think and I don't think that was the original intent when they accepted the federal money to put in a salt line. And the only way to find out is to go back and look at the original documentation and evaluate that versus what's being, suggested. So I would suspect if one town objects that they really not going to be able to go forward with legislative.
I think that they're trying to figure out if we don't want.
I guess all I'm saying is that we need to be careful.
Yeah, no.
That's all. I don't trust the state.
I work for them. I don't trust them. Yeah, I get it.
But I believe the changing of the governance came from the community members at the Winnipesaukee River Basin program, the member communities. So because they realized that all of these communities were paying in all this money to the state, and then the state was saying, okay, great, we're just going to take it and do what we do. And that's what is driving that, is the member communities.
We paid but didn't have any say in where the money went or what it was being used for.
So. Okay. All right, well, that's just my...
Yeah, no, that's what I said. I think going back, looking at the original and making sure they're not trying to slip anything in, yeah, getting us to pay for more than we are or should.
Yep.
Yeah.
Or take over bad infrastructure.
Yeah.
The question is going to be finding the original document. Let's have it here somewhere.
Yeah.
Somebody's got it.
I'm sure we can find it.
Okay. Just one thing from me on this. I'm going to continue working on that continuity of operations plan.
Okay.
And what I'm trying to do is, as I'm going through, I'm trying to make a list of things that are showing up on there that we need to have to fill it in, so that we, instead of having to sit there and read through that 70 pages, all of us, we can look at a list of things and come up together.
Is the website up and running again? It's
a continuity of operations plan. We've never had one. We've talked about it, and it's one of the things that the state seems to think we should have. And, it's been tried. They tried to work on it in years past, but it's never come to fruition. It's about a 70-page document that outlines what happens, who, where the continuity of the operations goes. If I get sick, who takes over? If all three of us get sick, who takes over? If Paul gets sick, who takes over? And it outlines the continuity of operation for the town of Samberton.
So, Trump do it.
And it's, we've got things like mission statements we've got to put in there, and they're asking for a whole bunch of things. It's not going to be an easy thing to put together, and it's not going to be put together in a week.
But the town's website is up and running.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah. No, the town's website is up and running. This has nothing to do with the town's website.
So. Yeah, like I said, okay. We're getting it updated with all of this stuff as we get the information. We'll get it all on there.
And I'll give you updates at the meetings as to where things are, and maybe if I get a list put together, I'll start putting a list out for people to think about. Okay, any more under old business? Chris?
Nope.
If not, you're up again. Town administrator's report.
Oh, I already talked about everything for you guys with the cross country and the payroll and stuff, so.
Okay. Then we'll move on to select board reports. Anybody have any reports? I have nothing.
So we did have a historic district commission meeting and public hearing last night. There was an application for a siding change on a house up on Tower Hill Road. The application got deferred, got tabled for the moment because the commission members had really wanted to see the actual colors. You know, we did, you know, try to do it remotely, so the applicants dialed in and some of the commission members dialed in. So they actually delivered a couple of samples to Franz Vail. He's got them, so the commission will take a look at them and be able to have another go at it in April next time we have a meeting. So.
Okay.
We canceled the building construction committee for tomorrow, not because of what was going on, just we didn't have anything specific to meet about, but we do plan to have a meeting on the 26th. That'll be a virtual, and get an update from EPS.
So. Yeah. My planning board meeting for tomorrow night was canceled. There wasn't anything other than discussion of some rules and regulations, and the chairman decided that it would be prudent not to have the meeting, so that's been canceled.
By the way, in case you haven't noticed, the last meeting I couldn't hear a goddamn word anyone was saying, and I didn't realize it by hearing they weren't working at all.
Been there, done that, Tom.
Yes. New batteries.
So, no. They needed to send them out for repair. So I'll get them back. I'll get one back tomorrow. This year.
I carry them with me now.
Yeah, I do too. And this one they were able to fix in the office. And I thought something was wrong. I could hear better without them in than with them in.
It's usually a good sign that there's something going on.
My only, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Yeah, you're good.
I think when I had a conversation with you on the phone about, I think you emailed one about the meeting yesterday, I thought I heard you say something about coordinating with the churches in town, if there are people, particularly elderly people, that need some help or need some grocery shopping or a mechanism to reach out to them somehow.
So I don't think there's been any direct coordination with the churches. Melanie has been working with First Fruits Pantry, which operates out of the Mountain View Church. Yeah. And between that and the Winnisquam School District, because they're doing
lunches.
Grab-and-go lunches for the kids, breakfast and lunch for free and reduced meal kids.
I saw a lot of school buses playing the role they were delivering.
Delivering.
Yeah, well, they're not doing that here, though.
No.
They're only pickup. So yeah. One of the things might be, and we may have to look at how can we help get those to some of the families that need them if they can't come.
Particularly with mud season.
Yeah.
Because also what they're doing is the drivers that are doing this are also picking up homework assignments and dropping them off with students and picking those, some of them up, and bringing them back to the, to the, to the student.
Not a good plan, but.
So. Or materials,
well, so
actually.
At least, I know, talking.
Most of it's getting the material from, yeah, the, from the school to the student.
So, but no, I don't, I, there hadn't been any specific coordination. You know, Melanie's put out the information about anybody, if you, because of the situation, if you find yourself in need of any assistance, to let her know. She's got a plan to do, you know, phone interviews and be able to bring people into the system quickly and get them hooked up. Uh-huh. Yeah, and you've seen where the governor's put out a bunch of executive orders, you know, no utility shutoffs, no evictions during this time. Although I was on a NHMA webinar today, and he pointed out that oil companies and gas companies are not covered by that executive order, because that's only for public utilities.
Yep. And
so
they're private.
We still have to negotiate with gas and oil companies to make sure gas keeps flowing.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. If that's it, then we're down to signatures.
So before we leave talking about meetings, I really, really think we need to be the board that models this behavior for everybody else.
Yep.
So future meetings, we really need to do it by phone. You know, one person can come in here. So what they've said under 91A, under the state of emergency, is you have to notice it, a meeting to a particular physical place, and there should be somebody there. Now, it could be the chairman, it could be another board member. They said it could even be a, you know, town administrator. You know, up to you to decide. And then everybody else can participate by phone.
Right.
The only thing that invokes, and we did it last night, is if you have people on the phone, first you have to do a motion, you have to accept them to participate by phone, and then you have to do a roll call vote. So instead of saying aye, you've got to, everybody has to,
yeah,
you know, speak individually so they can be recorded. Other than that, you know, we can do one recording. Sue shouldn't be here. You know, Trish shouldn't be here. If there are things to sign, then we'll, you know,
you can leave them in the basket.
Yeah.
Leave them and we come in and sign them. But yeah, I think we really need to be setting the example of not putting five people in a room next to each other, especially when we have folks that have, you know, that are at risk. And I'll tell you, it works much better if people do it that way. We had a call last night. We had four people here in the room. And of course, you know, one sitting in the back corner to stay away, but then nobody can hear. And it actually works out much better if everybody's on their own phone, because then you can keep it next to you. The quality goes up the fewer people there are in the one space.
So we've got to come in next week and sign the checks. Please.
Yeah. So Peg will have those all set. You can come in and sign. But I think we really need to, you know, we can decide. I mean, it's easy for me to come in. I'm the closest. I can come in and set up the call and do it from here. And I've got, since I set it up, I've got the most access to be able to get in and if something goes on. But
yeah. So even if only two of us were here.
Yeah, I don't mind coming in as long as.
Yeah, but then you get the problem with the phone. So you're down there, I'm down here.
Phone's in the middle.
Yeah, and people can't hear. You really need to have a dedicated phone in front. Everybody on their own line. I do this for a living. this is how we get by in the business world, and it just works much better when it's individual lines and not a group. Unless we had a whole bunch of, you know, in the spider conference phones all around the table, and that's... That defeats the purpose of isolating and not being together.
We can limit the agenda too.
Well, yeah. I think we'll find it goes faster when we do it that way instead of getting together.
Okay.
That's my pitch.
Okay.
get stuff designed.
Oh, yeah. I'm just realizing now, though, that I never changed Julie's oath of office to the 18th, because today's the 18th, as opposed to yesterday.
I think you could make a pen and ink change and initial it. And that's
okay. So Karen, the treasurer, has sent some the invoice received for the ambulance fund being billed.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Hopefully it's okay. Just don't stick it in your mouth.
Yeah.
Ambulance fund is in good shape.
Terry has some new applications for veteran tax credits for you guys to sign.
And I think she also wanted to make sure that we were clear that these are tax credits, not abatements. Yeah. I think we got the wording wrong when we talked about them last time, but
yeah.
I can just real quick print another one of these.
You know, along that, speaking of credits and abatements, so now that the solar abatement has been updated, I was going to suggest I can work with Terry to put together a letter. Now, I don't know if probably you wanted to come out from the town or from CCAG.
Tilton defeated that solar article. I wonder why.
Well, they were doing a...
Was it different?
Yeah. Not theirs was different than ours. Ours
okay.
Was...
Mm-hmm.
If we can put together a letter to the...
People.
Homeowners that have solar so they understand what's going on. Terry's going to get a lot of questions.
The next thing I have from Terry is the timber yield tax.
John, it's Paul.
Yeah, go ahead, Paul.
Hey, I have to step off. I'm going to return. return a call to the state EOC while we were on. Anything else you guys need from me?
Couple hundred bucks would be good, but...
Good luck.
No, nothing that I know of.
Okay.
Thanks for calling.
All right, well, everybody have a good night.
Yeah, right, thanks Paul, for thanks. Calling in, Paul.
All right, yeah, bye.
I don't know. I think I'm gonna miss coming into town for the meeting. That's one of my high points of the week.
Well, you get to come in on Wednesday and sign checks.
And... yeah, because we'll still have to do that even if we are do by teleconference. You're still gonna have to come in and sign.
Yeah, but it's the sitting around together.
Yeah. Actually, I did come prepared.
Get your rubber gloves.
I've got my latex rubber gloves, so.
Then I have the payroll registers.
Okay. Yeah, now I'm not going to be seeing Trish at all.
Yeah.
She won't be here anyways. Yeah. She shouldn't be here. Well, after a couple of weeks at home with the kids, you might want to be coming in.
Yeah.
Well, I have two grandchildren every day, 4 and 7.
Oh.
So I'm exhausted.
Oh, I didn't date that. Yes, I did.
Yeah, you did. He didn't remember dating it.
I inadvertently started. Yeah.
Well, no, I could.
We are signing a check for $29,005.13 to Harvard Pilgrim Healthcare.
Trish, that reminds me, is in the midst of all of this madness going on, we need to start thinking about the transition.
Right. So we were supposed to have a meeting with Health Trust.
In like April.
Well, we were supposed to have a meeting next week,
okay.
To me and Peg, to go over the transition, to the initializing of it, and they've pushed it off. BMSI has pushed off all of their things.
Yeah, what I don't want to do is get to June and all
right.
Of a sudden we're...
So I told Peggy to start sort of making like an Excel sheet of all of the employees that we have covered, like the elections that they have, and I said, and we're going to have to also try to track, if we don't get the BMSI thing update for July 1, we're going to have to also track what their elections are for flexible spending. So I have to talk to the Health Trust on how they want to proceed.
I would say, you know, give them a week or two to get settled, and they'll probably be ready to at least talk, you know, conference call or something.
Yeah. BMSI is completely shut down right now.
Well, it's like four people, right? You know, it's that old guy that we met and his grandson,
and there's
the third. And
there's an IT person and a couple of other people, but they are basically, they're not coming in at all to their offices.
Uh-oh.
I'm pooped.
I can't imagine why.
I'm pooped. DMV just sent an email to, well, they're shutting their offices.
Oh,
appointment only. Here we go.
So, does that change anything what you're putting out?
I hope to put it out tonight. I'll wait for you guys to make your decision.
No. So, everything we've talked about.
We've approved everything.
So, we're going to, do the door and by appointment. So
lock the door.
My only question is, does that change anything for you? Because we talked about the registrations.
No.
You'll still do the town
part.
Well,
that's why. And they'll have to make an appointment to go down there. At least if they do the town part. If you buy a new car and you come to me and you say, I want plates, I'm giving you plates and a sticker and I'm doing the state portion for you. So you're all set. When you leave here, we're doing the state portion.
Yeah. As long as you're not doing a...
Well, there's some things you can't. If you come in with a big, huge trailer, I can only do town portion. You come in with a tractor trailer, just the front of it, I can only do the front.
Right,
certain weight limits just knock you off.
Yeah, but even vanity plates and stuff, I know
we
Gloria
can do that.
Can
yep.
Put the request in and give you the temporary.
Yep.
So.
Yep, we can do all that.
And
stuff.
They're extending temporary stuff, right?
And I have that in my thing I did.
Yeah, through the 30th.
We called because we had an issue, and they said, did you read the email? Like, when we had time to read the email? I think we're the only ones open, really, like this. It's closed to the public. DMV is unable to process the town's portion of the registration. So, so make sure not to tell them, go there. And if we're going to close entirely, we have to let them know. And if we change our hours, we have to let them know, just like we would anyways.
Sure.
And that's it.
Good. All right. I think we're kind of ahead of that.
Yeah. I think we'll be okay.
You've got a good plan.
Got a plan.
But
and
I
did reach out to Amanda. And she said tomorrow, yes, just tell her when and what I need her to do. And she's going to help me.
With the envelopes.
All the envelopes and
labels.
Yes, like some people came in and registered their dogs tonight. I said, I'm not searching for it. If you get it in the mail, just disregard it. She says, no problem.
Yeah.
If I can remember to pull it, I'll pull it. But otherwise, it's going to be a lot of postage tomorrow. It's going to take her a while to run all that postage through that.
Yeah.
And anything we can do that might keep Dottie working, too.
Dolly, yeah. I mean, I don't know if she wants to,
Because she's pretty much lost everything.
Yeah. So, I think...
Yeah, well, that's what we talked about.
I don't have any signs made.
I'll send you an updated...
All right, and then we'll just print it on colored paper, and we'll laminate them, and we'll stick them on the windows,
I'll come by in the morning with the doorbell.
I have some bright yellow ones, the ones that that one that Jim just sent to start with for the morning.
And we're going to have to rearrange the office a little. We're going to have to move things.
So you can get to the...
We're going to have to put the things on some sliders and, I don't know, maybe push them out here or whatever.
Okay.
We'll move things around.
I'll be over early.
I'll
swing by Lowe's, get the doorbell,
and
come get that put up, and then I can help you move.
Yeah, it's not. It's going to be a little difficult because the desk was turned away that made it easier, and now it's not turned away that makes it easier. So, I don't think we can then they could look directly onto the screen.
Oh, I see.
And it's okay. We're just I don't, I think we're going to be more busy with dropping the box and tell them to just come back. We'll do the best we can. We can utilize the window or whatever.
Yep.
I wish I had a day to get ready. Like when
it's Sunday. You can have Sunday to get ready.
Okay. Anyways, okay. You want to swear me in?
Are you ready?
We do.
Oh, why not?
I swear you. I thought we were swearing at you.
Oh, okay. I like that.
Stand up. Stay right there.
I got a cough. Yeah. Right hand?
Not yet.
Thank On you. This 18th day of March 2020, the Town of Samberton Board of Selectmen hereby appoints Julianne Lonigan to the Office of Town Clerk Tax Collector. The term for this position is from the date of March 11th to March to 2020 until March 2023. Upon taking the oath of office and having the appointment of this and certificate of the oath of office recorded in the office of the municipal clerk, you shall have the powers to perform duties and be subject to the liabilities of such office until term expires. Raise your right hand, repeat after me. I, Julianne Lonigan.
I, Julianne Lonigan.
Do solemnly swear and affirm.
Do solemnly swear and affirm.
That I will faithfully and impartially.
That I will faithfully and impartially.
Discharge and perform all duties.
Discharge and perform all duties
incumbent upon me as the town clerk tax collector for the town of Samberton according to the best of my abilities agreeable to the rules and regulations of the Constitution and laws of the state of New Hampshire so help me God
Let's see if I make 3 years.
Congratulations.
Let's see if I make 3 years.
Okay, you need to sign right here.
There you go.
Okay.
All right. I'll be here bright and early. Busy day today, isn't it,
y'all? Yeah. Thanks,
Jewel.
Thanks,
Jewel.
Thank you. Tom's not here. I'm going to ask if everybody's had an opportunity to read the minutes.
Yeah, I gave Trish some corrections on the board meeting. I only had one minor correction on the town meeting minutes, and I think Julie provided a couple of changes to those.
Yeah.
Which one do you want to do first?
We got our last minutes in the town meeting minutes.
A little shorter than the last one, right? It was a little shorter than the last one.
Yeah.
What?
These minutes were a little shorter than the meeting before.
Oh,
Sue's
yeah.
record of 8 pages, whatever.
12.
Yeah.
The meeting was a little bit shorter than the meeting before, too.
So far, everything, we're on track with everything with the DRA, uploading the MS-37, the signed warrant. I have to upload those after you guys sign off on them.
Okay, as soon as the clerk comes back,
yep.
we'll vote and he can sign. This phone is a lot clearer than trying to do it the other way.
Yeah.
I'll let you know what it's like from the other end.
I don't know. How was it, Ray?
Are you still there, Ray?
He hung up.
That's fine.
I don't know if I can see who's online.
Anybody else online? Anybody out there in Radio Land?
No.
Huh?
No. Apparently not.
Everybody's gone. Okay. Let me see. I would make a motion that we approve the Samberton Board of Selectmen's minutes from March 4th, 2020, with any corrections.
Second.
Anybody have any other corrections than the ones that have been already been put in? Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstaining? Ayes have it. Motion carries. If you'll pass this to Tom for his signature. I will make a motion that we approve the 2020 town meeting minutes of Town of Samberton, New Hampshire for March 11th, 2020, with any corrections.
Second.
Anybody have any other corrections than we've already turned in? Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstaining? Ayes have it. Motion carries. Minutes are approved. If you would pass this to the clerk for signature.
So, Jim, you, Ray Massey here, you asked me about town meeting, and I hit the instead of the mute button.
Why is every phone got the disconnect right next to the mute?
Mm-hmm.
It's just.
I have no idea.
So how was the clarity? How was the clarity of the call?
Yeah, it was pretty good. Tom is hard to hear. I don't know if he's further away.
He's hard to hear for us. So yeah.
Yeah, he's soft spoken, but you know, short of that, it was fine.
Good. Well, I said, you know, it'll be better when everybody's on their own phone instead of trying to share a common one across the table. So.
Well, and honestly, if depending on how long this continues, for pretty cheap money, you can buy a decent, more speakerphone. You just can't hook it to the system that's there at the town office.
Yeah. So for this one, we've got a regular desk phone back on the conference table, so.
Yeah. No, it wasn't bad at all.
Good.
All right. Okay. Anybody have anything else that needs to be brought up to the public or at this meeting? If not, I will entertain the final motion.
Clerk makes a motion that we adjourn until. What's the next meeting date?
April 1st.
April 1st, yep.
Unless, you know, obviously if things come up between now and then.
Yeah.
We can hold emergency meetings.
I can always call another emergency meeting.
Yep.
We'll meet in 2 weeks and be available to meet at the call of the chair.
Yeah.
I will second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second on the floor. It's non-debatable. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstaining, ayes have it. We are in adjournment at 6:17.
All right, we're hanging up here, Ray.
Bye, Ray.